I had actually intended to start a different series this week, but with the women's retreat and then our retreat coming up, I decided to push it back. So with that, I went, okay, I've got 2 weeks to talk about stuff. And I thought, what's most important to cover right now to make sure we're all on the same page? So I just went to some as basic of questions as you can get. Who is our God and what is our purpose? Not simple questions, but basic questions. And before I start digging into the Bible and try and look at what do we believe about God, I wanted to show you a video clip of some street interviews I did about 4 years ago with Sean Hammer. We just went down to the UT campus and walked down the street and interviewed people. And this is what people had to say about God.
This is Cindy. Okay, Cindy, what do you think of when I say the word God?
God?
Yes.
Nothing. I believe in him, but I don't go to church. I believe in him. It's just, I know he's up there, but I don't show it.
Yeah.
But
in the beginning, there was God. He woke up one morning and he said, well, I'm alone. And he made everything and invented everything. And
the source, you see, of where everything comes from, everything benevolent and good, our higher aspirations, everything that we can attain is wrapped up in this source of benevolence, meaning goodness, you know.
I don't think he has any control.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has really no control over this world.
So I think of good things. I think of something that connects all people, that makes life worth living.
I think he's a bit of an ass sometimes, that's all, egotistical.
This entity, and it basically, though the cultures developed separately and distinctly, each culture had their own ideas about what God would be. It took on male personas, female personas.
You know, God's a hitchhiker.
God's a hitchhiker?
Do you know that?
Think about religion.
We'll just know that you have faith in that, and he can do anything for you, and he's wonderful, and he'll make you stay happy, and you'll live forever. And in history, there's a book about it.
Okay.
I believe in God, but I think sometimes being out here on the streets and stuff, it's kind of tough to have faith.
I think it's unfair for him to decide to put us in hell if we decide not to worship him. That bothers me. It frustrates me.
He's standing on the side of the road every day, man, with his thumb out. All you got to do is pull over and pick him up.
I don't know. I don't really know right now. Because I just woke up.
Yeah.
It's really hot out here. And I want to get a snowball.
Yeah.
Many similarities between the major religions that have developed over the years that is just undeniable to me. It's very obvious that this entity that you call God, all right, has been active in and human history, throughout human history.
Well, no, I'm sorry. I kind of serve in diagnosis right now.
Mm-hmm. Jesus.
Jesus?
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
What doesn't God know? You know? I mean,
powerful. Well, I am. I tell the president what to do. I give him advice.
Okay.
And he'll ride with you till the cows come home. See, there's a trick there. You don't even have to own cows. So that means he'll ride with you to the end of time.
I don't think he is. I think he's just left us to our own so that we can figure out what we need to do. And some people are screwing it up. Some people are doing it right, I guess. I don't know.
No, well, see, you're assuming that God is some kind of a being. I think God is more of a collective consciousness sort of a thing.
Okay. Well,
and I'm God because I'm part of him, and we all are. So we're all God.
Mm-hmm. Well, if there was a reality.
But God's a hitchhiker, man.
Do you think he's doing...
So, I show you that video because it just shows you the sorts of things people are saying about God. I mean, that was literally, we just one day went downtown for 2 hours, asked people, what do you think about God? And people said things. God's a hitchhiker. I'm God. He's out of control. Yeah, said some foul words. I mean, we just asked this simple question, and people said all these crazy things. I mean, some of it was literally crazy stuff. God's a hitchhiker, and he'll ride with you till the cows come home.
He said what?
I didn't get that.
No, he said cows.
But whenever he said, like,
you have to just pick him up. He'll ride with you till the cows come home. Yeah, I mean, it didn't make any sense. I mean, it made absolutely no sense. We asked people about God, and that's what we got. That was the response. And so, I show this not just to, well, that was weird, but I show it to show you that so many people have odd beliefs about God. And so if we're going to talk about God, which is what we do every Sunday, we need to make sure we're on the same page when we talk about God. When we talk about the God, we're not talking about a hitchhiker. We're not talking about that crazy lady with the funny laugh. We're talking about the God of the Bible. And so we just want to look at the Bible this week and say, who is our God? Just find out a few things about our God. So with that in mind, you can open up your handouts. It's got the Bible in there if you want to open up your Bibles. We're going to Colossians 1. And the first thing we're going to say is that He is Creator. He is Creator. And it says that in verse 16. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him. And so I tell you that, and nobody went, oh my goodness, I had no idea that you believed God created the universe. Nobody said that because it was the first thing you learned when you were 2 years old, you knew 50 words, and they made you memorize Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So you already knew this. So when I say this, nobody was shocked. Nobody's head exploded when I said this, which I'd probably pass out if that happened because I don't do well with blood. But nothing like that happened. But even so, this is important because it kind of defines the way you look at the universe. Because if you look around, we're all wearing clothes, and I'm thankful for that we're all wearing clothes. It'd be real awkward if people weren't wearing clothes. But if you think about it, God made your clothes. Now, He's not working in a textile factory somewhere, but if you go back, He grew the cotton. He made the materials found in your clothes. He made the dye. So, in a simple sense, your clothes were created by God. The chairs you're sitting on, He created those materials. If you look to your left and to your right, you see people that God formed in their mother's wombs. Now, if you ever look at yourself in the mirror, now think about this. There's light rays, they bounce off your skin. God created those light rays. They bounce off your skin, which God created. Bounces off the mirror, which God created. Hits your eyeball, which God created. Hits the optic nerve, which God created. You guys are good at this. Hits your brain, and you start to process this information with that brain, which God created. So everything that you see goes to your brain. Everything you hear goes to your brain. Everything you say, you process in your brain, which God created. And you know that, but if you start thinking through it, when you look around, everyone you see is someone that God created in their mother's womb. And we can take it in the other direction. Instead of looking at ourselves and looking inside, let's go to the outside, and you look at outer space. God created the stars. Now, I used to think that I was all cool because I like to play with fire and I'm not really scared of burning myself, and it's kind of like, oh yeah, I'll put my hand in the fire, whoo, look at that, and pull it out and I only get minor burns. Or when I worked at Chick-fil-A, one of my favorite things to do was to dip my hand in oil because people would like shriek like, don't do that, that's a terrible idea. And they were right, it was a terrible idea, and I have scars on my arm from burns from doing stupid stuff like that. But I didn't care, I just thought it was funny to get a reaction out of people, so I'd do it. You know, I also did things, I found a way to set my hand on fire without getting any sort of serious burns. And so I used to do stuff like that because I thought it was cool, and it was, but it was also stupid. But beyond that, you know, God has the universe in His hand, which has stars in it. Stars, if you know what stars are, they're basically like thousands and thousands of atomic bombs going off constantly. That's what stars are. God's got them in His hands. Like if Lindsay, birthday girl, suddenly disappeared, appeared on the sun for a second. Before you could shriek in pain and go, ah! Before you could do that, you'd be incinerated. You'd be completely gone. The stars are so hot. I mean, you couldn't even process the pain. That's what, it'd be a great way to die, to suddenly appear on the sun and be incinerated, because you wouldn't feel anything. It would just happen, and you're gone by the time your brain, which God created, processes that information, you're gone. And that's what God's got in his hands. He's holding that in his hands. And he's not wincing, he's not pulling away, he's just got it there, and it's no big deal to him. But so it's not simply that he created everything. Also tells us that he sustains everything, or he holds it together. So if you look in verse 17, it says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. All things hold together. So he's sustaining everything. He's keeping everything going. And like I moved into a house recently, and I built a weight bench because I had to build up my massive muscular physique. And so I had to put screws in this thing because I put hundreds and hundreds of pounds on this thing, which I easily lift. And so to sustain this machine, I had to put all these screws in it. Without these screws, the thing would come crashing down on me. And so I'd go in there and I'd decide to bench press this bar, and everything would come crashing down on it. It would smash my sternum to pieces, and I would have a bad day. Now I'd have trouble talking. Yeah, I would if I got crushed. I'm actually having a bit of trouble talking today because part of my tooth fell off. So if you're wondering why my face is all puffy right here, it's because I have a cotton ball in my mouth because my tooth fell apart. Yeah, that's problems I have. But so if I crushed my sternum, I'd have an even worse day than I had yesterday when my tooth fell apart. Same with this building. This building is held together by screws, nails, glue, concrete, all sorts of things. We would all have a bad day if the roof came tumbling down on us. I would say. You know, maybe we wouldn't die. Maybe a couple of us would survive and we'd have really bad days. But so if you kind of think about it, screws hold together my weight bench. This building's held together by a bunch of things. Well, the entire universe is held together by God. Now, you think about your body. You're not just one thing. You're made up of a whole bunch of little things called cells. And science can tell us a little bit about why they stick together, and they'll name a rule. But if you keep asking why, like my little two-year-old nephews, or are they three? Three-year-old nephews, they'll keep asking why about things. At a certain point, science doesn't really have a good answer. And so we kind of go, okay, why doesn't Holly suddenly turn into a big pile of goo? Because their cells aren't holding together. I don't know if it'd be goo, maybe it'd be liquid, or it'd be a pile of dust. I don't know what it would be if all of a sudden your cells fell apart. But it wouldn't be you. It would be something entirely different. But God holds you together. We can go even more detailed than that. We can look at atoms. So atoms, we've got all these electrons, and in the middle we've got protons, we've got neutrons. The way we make atomic bombs is by splitting that up, and it blows up real big. So we ask, why doesn't Holly suddenly explode every Sunday morning? Why aren't we sitting here in the... Like, man, Holly did it again. She exploded. Why doesn't that happen? Why don't these and explode? God holds it together. Everything you see, God is holding it together. Those stars we were talking about, which are like a whole bunch of Hollies exploding, like thousands of Hollies exploding, God holds it together. And he fuels these stars. And so when we talk about this, who holds it all together? Who sustains everything? It's God. And that's a pretty big deal. Pretty big deal. And so if we kind of move on from there, lots of people believe he's the creator. We watched that video. Nobody in that video said, I don't believe in God. Everybody said they believed in God. Maybe they believed weird things about God. But nobody said, I don't believe in God. So we have to go a little bit further than simply saying he's the creator and sustainer, because we believe that God is involved in our lives and he's involved in our world. So the next part, our God, he is Jesus. He's not just a generic God. We know specifically who he is, and he's Jesus. And if you look at the passage, this whole thing is talking about Jesus, and the context tells us that it doesn't, if you look at the whole chapter, it's very clear. So with that, we talk about Jesus. I mean, stop and think about this. If you've grown up in the church, you've probably heard a lot of stories about Jesus, and so you kind of get numb to some of these ideas and you don't think about it. But the God who created the universe, and he's holding it together, he's stopping Adam from exploding. decided you wouldn't explode this time. Adam's going to explode. He's stopping Adam from exploding, stopping all of us from exploding. He's keeping your chairs together so you don't fall down, which would be funny for me because I'm not standing on a chair, but it'd be terrible for you guys. The God that is doing that came down to earth. And in this thing we don't completely understand, how exactly was Jesus both a man and God at the same time? Because it wasn't he was part one and part of the other. He was completely both God and man, and if you want to know a theological term, it's a hypostatic union. So you can go home and tell your parents you learned about the hypostatic union, and they'll be impressed. Hypostatic union, if you want to write that down, to tell your parents. What did you learn in Sunday school? Hypostatic union. That's the mixture of both God and... Not mixture, excuse me. That's God, Jesus being both God and man at the same time. He came to earth, remember, sustaining the universe, and he keeps walking around to people who he's holding together, who he's giving life, and he's interacting with them. And just the same way when you stub your toe, you feel pain. Anyone stub your toe this week? All you, did it feel good? You like that? You like stubbing your toe, Travis? Yeah, me neither. Yeah, it hurts. Well, Jesus stubbed his toe. You ever think about that?
No.
Jesus' parents didn't quite understand him. There's stories in the Bible where his parents are trying to figure out exactly, they know their child is special, but they don't quite fully get it. And there's stories where they kind of have miscommunications between them because they don't quite get it. So the same way you have miscommunications with your parents, Jesus had those. So think about it. God stepped down from heaven, angels flying around him, worshiping him all the time, steps down into a world where he's stubbing his toe. Parents getting confused. Probably got picked on by people. You think about that. Jesus was a person, so he faced all those things that you face. And the next part, so why did he do it? Why would he step down? If you've grown up in church, you've heard this. But if you really thought about it in these terms. So we know he came to be our Savior, to die for our sins. Do you ever think about it this way? When he was being whipped, it was a whip he was holding together. When they pushed the crown of thorns down his head, Jesus was the one that made those thorns grow. When he was there being nailed to the cross, he was the one giving life to the people nailing him to the cross. And they lifted him up using strength that he gave them. Why would he do that? Why would he do that? He does love us all. And I'm missing actually one of my slides. The next point, if you look at verse 16, the last section of verse 16, why did he do it? Why would he do that? Says all things were created by him. That was our first point. And our last point, and for him. So you weren't an accident. It's not by chance that you're here. It's because you were created for him. And our sin separates us from God. And so he had to do whatever it took, even if that meant coming to earth and dying on the cross, so that you could be with him. Because that's what you were created for. And if you think about it, the worst act in all of history, the most despicable thing that ever happened, was Jesus' death on the cross, and it's so that you could have a relationship with him, because you were created for him. So if you think about any moments in your life where people at school are picking on you, maybe a friend of yours has betrayed you, betrayed your trust, I can think back to a time about 3-4 years ago, my grandmother was on her deathbed. My grandmother was literally days away from dying, and one of my friends sent me an email, quite literally cussing me out and telling me how bad of a friend I was, and he knew my grandmother was dying. You can imagine that wasn't a good week for me. Both I'm losing someone, and one of my best friends is basically abandoning me.
Why?
I can't go into it. Abandons me. So I felt pretty alone. My parents got divorced when I was in the 6th grade. That was not a good time for me. So you think about all those times in your life when you face situations like that. Maybe your parents aren't divorced, but they don't spend time with you, or they don't really pay attention to you. You think about all those things where you suffer, where you feel pain, you feel alone. You can always think back and realize that the God of the universe, the one that sustains the universe, that holds it all together, came to the earth to die on the cross for you. So even if everyone in this world turns their back on you, he paid the greatest price for you.